have a long sermon today. Sister Roberta, only one is with me. Sister Roberta said, bring it on, baby. I ain't got nothing to do today. And I tell you what, it's so long, I don't even know where to start. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel. I don't know if y'all tired of hearing about David. I know y'all tired of pastor preaching about David and Paul. Those guys are so significant in our Christian walk. Let's look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Are y'all comfortable? Is it hot, cold? You hot? Fan right there, y'all hit that fan. I don't want to turn the AC on. It's 74 and I got the fan, just the fans blowing. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 20, and we're gonna look at the 42nd verse. 1 Samuel 20 and 42. When you find it, say amen. If you're still looking, say, wait a minute. All right. Amen. The Bible says in the King James Version of 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 42, and Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. Listen to this. New Living Translation says, at last Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for we have sworn loyalty to each other in the Lord's name, and the Lord is the witness of a bond between us and our children forever. Then David left, and Jonathan returned to the town. Amen. Keep your Bibles open. Go to, I told y'all it was going to be a long one. Chapter 4. 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4. When you find it, say amen. Saul, this is from the New Living Translation. Saul's son Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when the report came to Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. When the child's nurse heard the news, she picked him up and fled. As she hurried away, she dropped him and he became crippled. Amen. Now, turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. When you find this, amen. Chapter 9, verse 1, 2 Samuel says, And one day David asked, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? He summoned a man named Ziba, and who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, I am, Ziba replied. The king asked him, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them. Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet. Thus ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for bringing us together on this great Sunday, Father God. We ask you, Lord God, right now to, Lord, be with me as I prepare to preach a word on this morning, Father God. Lord, if I'm too high, I ask that you would lower me. But if I'm too low, Lord, I ask you to lift me up and place me on a plane of existence on which you would have me to speak, Father God. Lord God, I ask you to forgive me for my sins, those that I committed that I knew of and those that I knew not. Lord God, we pray that this word would fall, Lord, on fertile ground. Lord God, we thank you for what our ears have heard and what our eyes have seen, what our hearts have felt up to this point. Father God, we just ask you to take out all the stuff that needs to be taken out and fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Most of all, Father God, fill us with your word on today. Lord God, we just pray for each and every individual that is in this building. Lord God, we thank you for just giving us a place to come and worship together. Lord God, we can worship in spirit and in truth because where the spirit is, there's liberty, Father God, and we thank you for that on today. Lord God, again, I just thank you for allowing me to stand before your people and talk about you and encourage those who, Father God, who may be dealing with things in their lives, Father God, and just encourage someone that everything's going to be all right. Lord, and for the lost soul, Father God, Lord, I pray right now that you would touch that heart, that they would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because of the word that is put forth on today. Lord God, I thank you. I praise your name. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 I want to talk about today. If y'all just give me a few minutes, I don't think I'll be before you long. I'm crippled, but I'm all right. I'm crippled, but I'm all right. Amen. I preached this sermon a few years ago over in Commerce, and we entitled it on that day, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Amen. And every time I go over to Mount Moriah in Commerce, there's an old lady there that says, Guess who's coming to dinner, Pastor McGuire? Amen. And we talked about, amen, we talked about David, we talked about Saul, and we talked about Mephibosheth. My brothers and sisters, as I read the first scripture that we read this morning, deals with none other, amen, than David. A young David who has become popular. A young David who's become successful, a young David who has slain Goliath, the giant, the young David who picked up 5 smooth stones, hit the giant in the middle of the forehead, and he fell, he cut his head off. Amen. All of Israel is excited, amen, because of young David. Amen. But there's a king, and his name is Saul. Saul was excited about the work that David was doing. Saul thought that, man, I have a right-hand man. I have a great warrior here in my regime, and everything's going to be all right. But lo and behold, the women started singing a song. And they said, that Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And guess what? At that particular point right there, old Saul took a big drink of Haterade. He took a big old sip of Haterade and begins to get upset because of the success that God was having go forth in David's life. Not knowing if he had just chilled out, then everything would have been all right. But Saul got so distraught and so upset about what was going on that he decides he's going to try to kill David. Y'all know the story. Amen. He chases David around and he terrorizes everybody from north, south, east, and west. Finally, David has to flee because things got so hot. Now, in the meantime, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit. You can go back and read it for yourself. It's a long story. That's what it says. I could be up here all day talking about this story. But while David was still there under the leadership of King Saul, he has a son. His son's name is Jonathan. Jonathan and David made a pact that, you know what, no matter what, brother, we're going to stick together. No matter what, I'm going to have your back, you're going to have my back. Matter of fact, Jonathan, you know your dad is trying to kill me, so you kind of tip me off and let me know what's going on so I know how to protect myself. Amen. This was an oath that these guys made to each other. Amen? Are y'all with me? Friendships, my brothers and sisters, are very important. Relationships are very important. If you look in the Bible, it's full of relationships. It's full of friendships. And it's full of haters. And that's one thing that we still have in common with those people that lived through the Bible days that God thought it was so important to write about. And to teach us lessons in our lives based on what is written in that book. Talking about being crippled. The Bible says that sin came into this world by one man, and his name was Adam. All of us, my brothers and sisters, are affected by the sin that Adam committed when he took the apple and he ate it. Amen? So, we're going to talk about Mephibosheth. All right? The young man who was lame, who was crippled, at both feet. I thought that it was very important here in 1 Samuel 20 and 42 when it says, and Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. These guys had a covenant with each other. Amen. Jonathan had helped David, even though his own father was trying to kill him. It'd be kind of like this. This is my daddy, Saul. You hate being a bad guy? Dressed up looking like the king today. But it's King Saul. And Darren is young David. And I'm Jonathan. And daddy's trying to kill Darren. But Darren's my boy. Do you know what type of attitude that he would have towards me? Now, there was one point where Saul got so upset that he even tried to kill his own son. But you know what? The Bible says, touch not thy anointed one. Then it goes on to say, do my prophet no harm. But see, David was anointed by God to do what he was doing. That's why he was so successful in battle. That's why so many people supported his cause. Amen? Because he was chosen by God. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Amen? Now, if we are descendants of David, that means some of that stuff has rubbed off on us. Amen? You better act like it. You better act like you somebody. Some of us walk around here with our head down, kicking rocks. Oh, no. Well, you're a descendant of David. You come out of the house of David. That's the same house Jesus came out of. You run around here like you defeated. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. The devil is a lie. And let me tell you something, my brothers. Relationships are important. Relationships are important. Jonathan helped David. And for all of us who think, I'm my own man, I pull myself up by my own bootstraps, that's not realistic. Amen? Y'all remember when you sang this song, when all God's children get together, what a time. Y'all, this is about being together. You know, it's sad that we can't get along. Hey man, when was the last time you committed to anybody or anything? These guys committed to each other even unto death. And then what's so awesome about it, they even committed their children. When was the last time you said, listen, McGuire's, no matter what, we're going to be cool with the Smiths. I don't care what go on, we're going to be all right. How awesome would the church be if we all agreed to have each other's back? Regardless of what came up, that we were going to have each other's back. David was successful not because of himself, but David was surrounded by good people. His whole life, he was surrounded by good people. Even when he went to fight Goliath, he had people that he could trust with the sheep. Read your Bible, it's in there. Amen. And then we could go over and talk about David's mighty men. But really what I want to talk about is the fact that there was a young man who was crippled. He was crippled. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 4. Let's look at this one more time. Saul's son Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when the report came from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. When the child's nurse heard the news, She picked him up and fled, but as she hurried away, she dropped him, and he became crippled. What happened was when all war broke out, amen, when all the fighting began to happen, the Bible says that Jonathan took his son to a safe place. And the city, and he took him to a safe place and trusted him with somebody else. He had a caretaker. But when bad news came, the caretaker picks up Mephibosheth. Anybody 5 years old in here? Ensley. Seneca, come here, baby. Come here. Let me show y'all what happens. Jump up here, baby. Oh, we got two of them. Okay, both of them are 5 years old. I was going to pick them up, but I can't pick both of them up. Come here, Johnny. Imagine this. Now, we trust Johnny. He's a caretaker, right? I take all wars going on. People are being killed. People are shooting arrows and all things. Fires are burning. Bombs are going off. But I trust Johnny to take care of my five-year-old. Jonathan trusted her to take care of his five-year-old. Are y'all with me? Y'all see what it's going on? Now, Johnny, pick them babies up. You're going to pick both of them, and it really is supposed to be one. Look at that. Boy, that's Goliath right there. And when all hell breaks loose, the one, all right. I thought you were strong. You just big. You ain't strong. Uh-oh. Hercules. So what happens is, when all hell breaks loose, the caretaker takes off running and falls. And in the fall, the child is injured from 5 years old. And for the rest of his life, he's crippled. Thank you, Johnny. Sit down. Y'all give Johnny and the babies a hand. Our beautiful five-year-old and Hercules. Thank you, Johnny. You're a nurse for real. That worked out perfect. So, you and I, every person in here, there was a time in our lives where we were totally dependent on somebody else. Woo. And some of us, in the care of somebody else, got dropped. Some of us are messed up this morning right here in this church because the person who was trusted to take care of us dropped us. Some of us have been scarred forever because the person who we trusted to take care of our babies dropped. Woo! When they heard the news. She takes off running. But the story goes on that David always honored his relationships and honored his commitments to those people. Even though David could have killed Saul, Jonathan's father, time after time after time, he never did it. Because he knew that Saul was in that position because God placed him there. Let me tell y'all something. Be careful about killing God's folk. You let the Lord handle that. David had sense enough not to mess with Saul, even though he could have took him out. Have you ever had an enemy you could have got him, but you let him make it? We can learn a lot from David. Saul was talking about him, trying to not just some of us want to kill folks over talking about us. Some of us want to fight over, but this guy was actually physically trying to kill David. Are y'all with me? What was my subject again? I'm crippled, but what? I might be crippled, but I'm all right. Woo! Y'all better believe it. So David was committed to Saul. Even he, you know, let me tell y'all something. Instead of fighting folks and killing folks, David taught us a great lesson here. Instead of fighting folks and killing folks and doing all that stuff, it's some folk you just need to stay away from. David kept his distance. There are people in our lives that you know if you're right there with them, it's going to be trouble. So David kept a safe distance between him and Saul. Amen. The Bible even goes on to tell us about a great battle that went on when Saul and his sons were all surrounded by the enemy. Amen. And Saul was hurt pretty bad. And then, you know what? He took his own sword and he fell on it. Killed himself. His sons were surrounded. Amen. They were killed. Now watch this. Folks, I always want to be up in the middle of something. Let me show y'all something about lies. And I preached this before too. There was a foreigner that came along, and he just wanted to be, he just running his mouth. Now, what really happened was Saul fell on his sword and killed himself, right? But there was a foreigner, and I don't remember what country he's from. I got it marked in my Bible, but I don't want to go back. It might be an Amalekite. I may be right, but look at it. It's in your book. But anyway, he goes to David, and he tells David, listen, David, let me tell you what happened. And David, you know, they were like, man, what happened with Saul? Can you tell us the story? He said, yeah, I can tell you. It was a great battle. And Saul was gravely injured. And he called me over and he said, man, kill me. Take me out before they kill me. I don't want them to kill. I want you to do it. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. So this dude tells David, I took his sword and I killed him. Now, knowing that Saul was trying to kill David, Saul was trying to kill David so bad that he killed 82 priests, I believe, at one time because he felt like they had helped David get away. This is how crazy Saul was. Woo! Watch this, man. So, when David finds out that this fella killed Saul, which ain't really what happened, he just wanted to be up in the middle of something. Y'all remember when you say you're dipping and dabbing and asking for a slapping? You all up in the Kool-Aid and don't know the flavor? Y'all remember that one? This guy just wanted to be up in the business. He tells David, thinking he did something cool, I went on and took him out, man, because, you know, just took him out of his misery. You better be careful taking people out of their misery. And you better be careful lying. This dude was lying. Tammy, you know what happened to him? David said, who gave you the right to touch God's anointed one? He told his men, kill him. He told a lie. Wasn't even the truth. He got killed over a lie. Watch your mouth. Better quit lying. Lies will kill you. David thought so much of Saul, even though Saul was trying to kill him. Guys, we can learn a lot from this. Cripple. But I really want to talk about Mephibosheth. David honored his covenant, honored the agreement that they had made. Look at this. Most of the time, our brothers and sisters, whenever a new king would take over, King David is going to be made king now. It was customary in those times that whomever took over, that you would wipe out the whole family of the previous king. Amen? But David didn't do that. A man after God's own heart. Look what he says here. Boy, are y'all with me this morning? I know y'all wanted me to hoop and holler this morning, but it's too hot for all that. I'm burning up. And one day David asked, is someone from Saul's family still alive? Anyone whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? He summoned a man named Ziba who, I'm in chapter 9, 2 Samuel chapter 9, it's in your Bible, who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, I am, Ziba replied. The king then asked, is there anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them. You see what he said, God's kindness? That's the kind of kindness we ought to be showing, God's kindness. We all talking about brotherly love. You my brother. But you know, we need to practice agape love. That God kind of love. That no matter what love. Amen? That in spite of love. Amen? Ziba replied, yes, one of the Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet. He letting him know, look, man, look. Yeah, he got a son, but he messed up. Yeah, Orange Chapel got a preacher down there, but he messed up. Orange Chapel got some deacons down there, but they crippled, man. They got a good choir, but they all messed up. Are y'all with me? You see how he threw that in there? You see how the world will always remind us of our issues and our problems and our shortcomings? People want to concentrate on what's messed up more than what's right. He didn't say he can speak well or he looks good or he can sing. He concentrated on a deficiency. Amen? Look at this. But you know what? David didn't even reply to that. He is crippled in both feet. And then what did the king say? Where is he? Y'all know that our Father is looking for us. McGuire's crippled in both feet, but where is he? Woo! I thought that was going to be one of the points where y'all say, hallelujah, that's right, preacher. Okay, I'll try another one in a minute. Where is he, the king said? He says, in Lodabar, Ziba told him, at the home of Machir, son of Amiel. Now, what we have to know about Lodabar is Lodabar was a very dry place. Lodabar was like a desert area. Wasn't nothing going on in Lodabar. Anybody in your life, think about this. You cripple and you're in a very dry place. Have you ever been there before? Cripple and in a very dry place. Tumbleweeds blowing. Nothing. A dry place. Cripple and in a dry place. It's one thing to be crippled and laying on the beach in Cancun and the beaches of Florida, but to be crippled and in a dry place. He's in Lodabar. So David then sent for him and brought him to Machir's house. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect. So David said, greetings, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth replied, I am your servant. Don't be afraid, David said. I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table. Woo! Can you see yourself? Right now, my brothers and sisters, boy, I can close this thing right here. I'm gonna finish reading this. Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, Who is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me? Mephibosheth, crippled at both feet, living in a dry place, called to the king, think he's about to get killed, bow down. And then the king says, I'm gonna show you some love. I'm gonna show you some kindness, and you're gonna eat at my table. Ain't God all right? Y'all better come on and get along some praise up in here. He goes on and he bowed down and he exclaimed, your servant, that you should show me such kindness to a dead dog like me. Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and servants. Look at that. He called himself a dead dog. No confidence whatsoever. Living in a dry place, crippled at both feet, daddy dead, granddaddy dead, somebody else dropped him. Woo, do y'all see all that? Y'all see the blessings right here? In the relationship, in the commitment, in the covenant? Woo, hallelujah. I guess I'm the only one excited this morning. And he goes in to see the king, and the king gives him some servants. Can't even walk right, but you got folks working for you. Can't even work, but you got land. Woo! And you can go eat at the king's table. I'm crippled, but I'm all right. I'm crippled, but I'm still preaching. I'm crippled, but I'm still singing in the choir. I'm crippled. But I got food on my table, clothes on my back. I'm crippled. I got shoes on my feet. I'm lame in both feet, but my family's still together. A dead dog like me. Woo! Oh, ain't it good to be connected? He said, I've given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and servants are to farm the land and to produce food for your master's household. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat here. We'll eat here at my table. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. So you go, so he comes in, crippled at both feet, from a dry place. Daddy dead, granddaddy dead, nothing. And look, he has Ziba and 15 sons and 20. What's 15 plus 20? He got 35 folks working for him. Just like that. Because the king said it. Oh, my brothers and sisters. Will you sing a song that said, all night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he said, I got a host of angels that's going to watch over, that's going to be with you, that's going to watch over you, that's going to protect you. I know you're lame at both feet. You have to park up close to the stove. Got a handicap sticker on your car. Every last one of us ought to have a handicap sticker when we come to church. The whole, all the way around the church ought to be handicapped because all of us are lame at both feet. We run around here thinking we all land in a bag of chips. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He who said he's never sinned is a lie, and the truth ain't in him. And some of us are lame and messed up because somebody else dropped us that was trusted with us. But I know somebody that can pick you up, turn you around, place your feet on a solid ground. Ain't God all right this morning? Oh, I'm thankful for Jesus this morning. I'm thankful for the King this morning. Amen. You think I ought to come through the back door, but I'm coming through the front door. I'm sitting at the King's table. Oh, you may not think much of him, but God knows. You may laugh at me and talk about him and say, look how he walked. Look at him. He's so messed up. But I can eat at the King's table. God prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Woo! Yea, though I walk crippled through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For the King is with me. Oh, Ziba replied, yes, my Lord, the king and I, king, I am your servant and I will do all that you have commanded. And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table, like one of the king's own sons. We used to sing a song that said, soon and very soon, we are going to see the king. Soon and we are going, and then we say hallelujah, hallelujah. We're go, no more dying there, Sister Roberta. We're going to see the King. My brothers and sisters, I might be crippled. Wear the seal, I may be black. I may be ugly. That was Celia said, but I'm still here. Can anybody testify today? You might be crippled. You may make mistakes. Come on, Tony, we finna go home. You may make mistakes day after day after day. Yeah, man. Oh, but ain't it good to eat at the King's table? Yeah. Oh, when you eat at the King's table, there are privileges. Yeah. We're being hooked up with the King. Yeah. Ain't God all right? Yeah. You end up with things that you didn't buy. All blessings. Yeah. Every time I turn around, here comes another blessing. Song said, ooh wee, look at all these blessings coming. Yeah. Ain't God all right? My brothers and sisters, verse 13 says, and Mephibosheth, who was crippled at both feet, lived in Jerusalem and ate regularly at the king's table. I'm so glad that I can eat at the king's table.